This is your daily news fix, the Daily Brief, right here on RCR.
Good afternoon, it's Thursday, February 20th, and I'm Megan McNamara bringing you RCR's Daily Brief. Today, Paul Brennan brings us the news before we hear a snippet of an interview he did with Matthew Haig, lawyer for Liz Gunn in recent criminal proceedings. Then RCR host Marie Buskey will join us to provide her thoughts on the Manurewa Mirai scandal, which resulted in the head of StatsNZ stepping down after an inquiry revealed the agency's failure to safeguard against the misuse of census data collected at the Mirai. And of course, Natalie Cutler-Welsh joins us with RCR Signpost. Let's get started.
Good afternoon, I'm Paul Brennan for RCR. A leaked draft of a peace plan to end the nearly three-year war in Ukraine has surfaced following negotiations between the US and Russia. The plan outlines steps to implement a ceasefire, hold elections in Ukraine, and sign a final agreement. The draft also revealed that the US and Ukraine would form a joint investment fund to give the US ongoing access to Ukraine's rare minerals. Meanwhile, Russia demanded that Ukraine never join NATO. European countries criticized the talks for sidelining both the EU and Ukraine, saying also that the deal offered too many concessions to Russia. Germany's MEP Sergei Ladeginsky called it a gift by Trump to Putin. There were also concerns that holding elections before a settlement could result in Ukraine's leader, Volodymyr Zelensky, being replaced by a pro-Russian president. In New Zealand news, ACT finance spokesman Todd Stevenson has called for removing all remaining tariffs in response to US President Donald Trump's tariff regime. Trump said in a post on X that whatever countries charge the US, we will charge them no more, no less. Stevenson said that scrapping tariffs would help Kiwi exporters and cut costs for consumers on imported goods. State-owned energy provider Genesis Energy confirmed it would stockpile 1 million tonnes of Indonesian coal for potential use at Huntly Power Station over the winter. The coal would serve as an insurance policy against renewable energy failures, an issue becoming increasingly relevant due to New Zealand's reliance on weather-dependent energy sources. The New Zealand Herald said it would cut 30 journalist jobs, just as an Ipsos poll revealed that only 27% of New Zealanders trust the media, while 48% do not. The poll reflected a further decline in media trust compared to an AUT study from February 2024, which placed media trust levels at 30%. Turning to international news, laws criminalising so-called hate speech have been rammed through the lower house of the New South Wales Parliament. The Crimes Legislation Amendment Bill 2025 would create an offence for intentionally inciting racial hatred and make it illegal to display a Nazi symbol near Jewish buildings. The bill is now being considered by the Legislative Council. Romanian presidential candidate Calin Georgescu has pledged to ban the entire George Soros network in Romania if elected. His comments gained traction after Elon Musk shared a post on X about the issue, which received 10 million views. Georgescu's victory in the first round of Romania's elections last year was abruptly overturned by the Constitutional Court, citing concerns over so-called Russian interference. Ireland's government has attempted to force X to hand over the personal data of 10 users involved in anti-immigration activism. Authorities attempted to use Section 63 of the Criminal Justice Act 1994, a law originally designed to track organised crime. X has confirmed that it is opposing the court orders. And now for RCR Quick Links. New Zealand First has attacked Green MP Ricardo Menendez-March for referring to the country's name as Aotearoa during question time. In the ongoing Manurewa Marae inquiry, Māori Party President John Tamihere has admitted that certain census forms were photocopied. All major New Zealand banks have announced cuts to some home loans after the official cash rate dropped again to 3.75%. Brazil's Prosecutor General has filed charges against ex-President Bolsonaro over an alleged coup plan. Japan has updated its carbon reduction targets as it plans to boost nuclear and renewable energy by 2040. And Kazakhstan said it will speak with Ukraine to avoid a repeat of this week's Ukrainian drone strike in southern Russia that hit the main Kazakh oil export pipeline. And that's RCR Bytes news for today. It's Thursday, the 20th of February. I'm Paul Brennan.
Let's hear now a little of Paul's interview with lawyer for Liz Gunn, Matthew Haig, who successfully appealed her assault conviction in the High Court last week. Gunn was found guilty at a judge-alone trial last May of assaulting an airport worker 3 months earlier, despite clear evidence that Gunn merely used light touch on the security guard's arm to get her attention. Last week, Justice Mary Peters said a miscarriage of justice had occurred and Gunn's interaction with the airport worker fell within acceptable physical contact. Many people felt that Gunn had been unfairly targeted due to being a well-known critic of the government during the COVID era. Even today, she is routinely referred to, first and foremost, as an anti-vaxxer in the media. However, while Haig could not confirm that bias was at play in the district court that convicted Gunn of assault, he said this remained an important public interest case. Let's listen.
Let's move to what happened then a week or so ago. What were the points that were made in that judgment?
It's a really simple one. And that is the touch that we saw in the video that there was no dispute about was acceptable conduct in day-to-day society. And there's settled authority on this point. This is not a new area of law. There's a case from 1984 called Collins, which actually involves a police officer touching a woman on the arm for the purpose of getting her attention. Sound familiar? That's exactly what Liz did. Again, there's no dispute about what happened at the airport. The dispute was whether that was acceptable conduct. I think this judgment's really important because, first of all, it again shows that criminal convictions should be reserved for criminal offending, which this was not. And secondly, we interact with people every day. And on occasion, we touch them. We shake their hands. We tap them on the shoulder. We touch them on the arm and say, excuse me, to get their attention, just like Liz did at the airport. That should not warrant the sanction of the criminal law. And in this case, we had the right outcome eventually in the High Court. But Liz was dragged through these criminal proceedings for nearly 2 years now, through the District Court and through the High Court. It came at an enormous cost financially and in terms of stress. It wasn't fair to her. And I'm just so pleased that Liz had the courage and strength to stand up and say, no, this isn't right. And eventually she was vindicated fully by the High Court.
All right, let's move on now to one of the big stories of the week, the inquiry into what really happened at Manawera Marae. Marie Buskey joins us now.
Thanks, Megan. There's a saying in Silicon Valley that if you don't pay for a product, then you are the product. What this refers to is the blind willingness we all seemingly accept in giving away our personal data for ostensibly free stuff. But what is the cost of all this free stuff? Well, that would be your freedom and potentially democracy. This week, we've seen a report released for the inquiry into the steps government agencies took to ensure personal census and COVID-19 vaccination data collected at the Manawera Marae could not be misused. It is found the agencies failed to put appropriate safeguards in place, and more than that, they fell short of their responsibility to protect and manage the sharing of this personal information. Complaints were laid by internal whistleblowers that data collected by the Marae was used to target Māori voters in the Tāmaki Makaurau electorate, an electorate seat which was being contested by the Marae's chief executive, Takutai Tash Kemp, who went on to win the seat over incumbent Penny Hennery for Labour by just a paltry 42 votes. These allegations have been strenuously denied by Marae officials and Waipareta Trust into Party Māori Sefengali John Tamahiri, who played the racist card on RNZ yesterday. Among the findings of the report from Michael Herron-Casey and Pania Gray, they found that the Ministry of Health and Health New Zealand didn't have control over data once downloaded by providers, had no oversight that those providers were meeting contractual expectations, they had no safeguards for managing potential conflicts of interests, like the CEO of the Marae standing in a general election, for example. And the report cited that the high trust model was at play. Oh, that old chestnut. Well, the long and short of it is this. the report identified more questions than answers and did not have the scope to delve further. And despite protests of lack of proof made by Tamahere, this has now been kicked up to the Privacy Commissioner and the police for further investigation. And I suspect that the Stats New Zealand Chief Executive Mark Sardin, and given this report, Health New Zealand's Margie Arpa's departure, well, they could be the first of many. So I ask this. What will happen to Tamaki Makaurau's seat? The Electoral Commission accepted it failed to manage the perceived conflict of interest way back in December. So what now? By Māori having their data turned over to those with vested interests with little or no oversight, that data became a very valuable commodity indeed and potentially has shaped the nature of our parliamentary house today. I, for one, will be watching keenly to see how this story unfolds. Back to you, Megan.
That wraps up our news and commentary for today. Now to Natalie and The Signpost.
Thanks, Megan. Welcome to The Signpost. Natalie here, pointing you to our must-watch shows, ways to get involved and make your voice count. Fresh on the app today, join Marie Buskey and Marty Gibson as they dive into everything from personal activities to crucial government appointments, media regulation, and the Cook Islands' ties with China. In a lively exchange on Perigo's perspective, Paul Brennan and Lindsay Perigo catch up on current affairs, with Lindsay sharing his unfiltered thoughts on the coalition government's performance. Meanwhile, Oinky Lux's efforts to improve his farm lead to a cheeky piglet protest on Kiwi Farm. Don't miss tonight's third episode of RCR 360. It's an absolute doozy. Alistair Harding interviews acclaimed U.S. lawyer Michael Connett, who hammers the final nail in the coffin of the fluoridation argument. Coming up tomorrow, Paul Brennan catches up with RCR contributor Rachel Stewart to talk about her new comment and opinion feature, Riding Shotgun. Known for her fearless take on the big issues, Rachel isn't holding back. Expect sharp insights, bold opinions, and plenty to ponder. If you missed it, check out Marie Buskey and Simon Anderson discussing the IPCA reporting failures around Posy Parker and the recommendation that puts protest rights in NZ under threat. Simon O'Connor's interview with Canadian MP Kevin Vuong looks at Justin Trudeau's potential resignation and Trump's growing influence across the border, while Paul Brennan chats with lawyer Matthew Haig about Liz Gunn's airport assault case dismissal. You can also catch Paul Brennan and former BBC journalist Tony Gosling discussing global political power shifts and the impact of Trump and Musk. And on Rural Report with Don and Jez Preet, they highlight the urgent need for local water management reforms. Don't forget to have your say on the Water Reforms Bill delivery models by this Sunday, 23rd of February. Check the show notes for the link to submit your thoughts. You can also keep up the good fight on the gene technology bill. Use our RCR Action Tracker resources, spread the word, and write to your MPs. Your voice matters. New content drops daily at RCR. To see what's new, you can click on the slick new feature called Latest at the top of the app for seamless listening. We love hearing from you. Please keep the feedback coming. You can text 2057 or email us inbox@realitycheck.radio. That's it from me. Megan, back to you.
Thanks, Natalie. And that's all from us here at The Daily Brief. If you want to dig deeper into any of the topics we touched on today, you'll find all the links below. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow. Until then, see ya.